Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, Harley Street nutritionist, master practitioner, personal trainer, and best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well. I'm so excited to share my vision of food far beyond the confines of my clinic. I truly believe food should always be a positive aspect of life, offering enjoyment, fuel, and happiness for both the mind and body. I'll be joined by some very special guests, and we'll be talking about how to develop a healthy relationship with food, and what does that even mean? How does it make us feel, and how it can change our lives forever? Ella Mills is founder and creative director of Deliciously Ella, whose mission is to help you live better and make vegetables cool. Diagnosed with an illness while at university in 2012, she overhauled her lifestyle and started a plant-based blog sharing her journey. What started as a personal project now has over 130 million hits and has grown from an online community to a plant-based food business with the fastest-selling vegan cookbook of all time. At just 27, Ella's written 4 best-selling books, launched a number one app, and released supermarket-stocked ranges of breakfasts, healthy snacks, and meals, all whilst running an award-winning deli in Mayfair. And I have to add there, I have been, and the food is absolutely delicious. Working with her husband, Matt, who's CEO of Deliciously Ella, their food empire has proven there's no reason why time or budget should stop you preparing delicious, wholesome meals. I am so happy that Ella's managed to find the time to be with me today. Hello, Ella.
Hello.
Oh, I can't believe you made it into the studio.
I know, I'm very excited.
It's been a crazy busy time for you recently. There's so, so much going on. And I think I wanted to kind of open the podcast to kind of go back a little bit. So thinking about your time at university, the struggles you went through then, and in a nutshell, how do you think your relationship with food has developed throughout the years, really?
God, it's changed. Such a great question, and it's such a nice way of looking at it. For me, it has changed so much in the last, let's say, like 20 years. It's unbelievable. I think when I was younger, I wasn't particularly interested in food. You know, obviously, like, enjoyed my dinner, enjoyed whatever someone would cook for me, but I never really thought about it.
No, nor did I as a kid.
No, I wouldn't describe myself as like a kind of foodie type person. Like, I wouldn't get really, really excited about something. Or like, I loved the Barbie cookbook and I did make the chocolate chip cookies.
Hang on, Barbie had a cookbook?
Yeah, did you not get
it? No, I did not get the Barbie cookbook.
Oh, you missed out. The Barbie cookbook chocolate chip cookies. My mum's kept it because I loved it so much. She was like, grandchildren will need it. So I had my few little kind of bits, but otherwise I was pretty yeah, vaguely disinterested. Then as I started to get kind of later teenager and went to uni, like I, first time obviously you're kind of feeding yourself.
Yeah.
And because food actually had always been, whilst I wasn't that excited or kind of passionate about flavour, food had been a really important part of family life for us.
Yeah, social aspect.
Yeah, we've always been, probably why I feel like my busyness is normal, like we've always been a family that seemed to do like 3,000 squillion different things and be in 3,000 squillion different places. And so meal times were really the, like, really, really treasured times in our family.
Oh, when you got together.
Exactly. And it was the time, yeah, that we were actually together and would really have, like, proper conversation and really connect. And so it's always had a powerful place in that sense, but I've had a kind of respect for it in that way. Yeah. But then, yeah, went off to uni.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you're suddenly fending for yourself. Mm. And I remember my one of my best friends and I used to have Tesco picnics, we'd call them, in our halls. And we would just get, like, baguettes, like Haribo, Nutella, yes, peanut butter and jam, and just sit on the floor and like pretend we were doing our work and just like dunk everything. And
we've all been there, the local express shop.
Exactly. And real passion for pick and mix as well at that point.
I loved the little ice creams, the chocolate ice cream.
Do you know, I liked all the fizzy stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I wasn't the fizzy Coke bottle. Yeah. I was the chocolate.
Fizzy cherries. Oh, yeah, that was like my thing.
See, I would pick the foam off the cherry and leave jelly bit.
No.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
And and so that was, again, like, it was a really fun element of a relationship with food, and like I felt like I was discovering all these fun things. Yeah. And you had that kind of excitement of like, your mum's not there so you can just eat Haribo for dinner.
Is it? Exactly. No.
But again, I would say, like, not massively connected to the way I was eating. Like, I don't feel like I had massive appreciation for food or any deeper sense of any relationship with food, actually, in a way, in terms of how it impacted on me physically or mentally, really.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, after the end of my second year at uni, I got very unwell.
Of course.
And I sort of, I guess I then actually, the first time, I guess, really deepened my relationship with food because I very much used it as a comfort thing. I spent most of a year basically on my own watching all the Kardashians.
Oh, bless you.
Basically, became best friends with
You know them all.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And you know, I'd feel really low and I'd, you know, eat quite a lot. And I started to realise that maybe that also wasn't necessarily making me feel better.
No, or helping the situation.
No, exactly. Mm. Not always. Sometimes, but not always. I think especially when you're in a really difficult patch and that becomes basically your 24/7 rather than it being kind of every now and again.
Yeah.
And, but I also felt so unwell that the idea of like cooking and things felt really alien, exactly, and like
I'm
not a priority.
I'm glad you raised that, actually, because there's so many people out there, I think, that cooking can be a challenge for
them. Totally.
It can be difficult, and it's really important to raise the fact that you're not alone, actually. I think a lot of people turn to food when they're feeling a bit low, and the idea of cooking is just overwhelming.
Exactly, and I think, you know, for me, like when I was in a really dark place, I really struggled with my mental health because of my physical health and the kind of alienation I felt from that. And you don't really care, you know, lots of people who've been in that place, I'm sure, feel the same way. You don't really care about yourself.
Mm.
And so the idea of, I think cooking is quite a ritual. It's quite a kind of nourishing thing of like chopping and prepping, spending that time and then preparing something that you eat, especially if you're cooking for just yourself or maybe just yourself and someone you live with.
Mm.
There's a kind of real element of self-love in there, really.
I didn't
have any of that in my life, no inclination to do anything kind of kind for myself. Mm. And it wasn't until I hit kind of a real rock bottom and I started looking at what else I could do aside from all the drugs that I was taking, and were there other things that would potentially help me? And I started to read other people's stories, all kinds of different issues, but had found, you know, lifestyle in general, but food playing a really big part of that, to be powerful for them. And I had never ever thought about food in that context before.
Yeah.
You know, every now and again you were like, oh, you know, people say, oh, you are what you eat, and I was like, well, I'm not a giant fizzy cherry.
thank goodness
exactly.
And so dressing, like, difficult.
It would be, it's an awkward angle.
Yeah, a little bit
pointy at the top. And so I was like, well, okay, I'm not sure, you know, it was just like, whatever, I don't understand. But I started, and obviously you'll have an appreciation for this, you know, anyway, I started to read a bit about kind of nutrition and the human body and how our bodies work. And I started to understand, okay, wait a second, your body needs all these different vitamins, all these different minerals.
There's something in that, yeah.
Totally, for all these different cellular processes that are happening without us even, again, having any appreciation of what's actually happening on a like second-by-second basis.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, so it needs all these things for all these absolutely kind of life essential processes. Yep. I'm not really supporting any of that in the way that I eat. And it's not that I was... Yes, I, you know, definitely.
But you weren't aware.
No, totally. And definitely, yes, I turned to some chocolate and Haribo and my fizzy cherries for comfort. But I also, like, I would say I ate very normally for someone who's busy in the modern world.
I mean, totally. Come on, it was,
like, lots of sandwiches and, you know, toast and cereals and, you know, things like that.
Total normal diet for a
lot
of people.
Totally. So I'd never really thought, oh, well, this must be not giving me anything I need. But I started to look at it and I was like, well... Actually, it needs a lot of the fresh food and how much fresh food is in the convenience of picking up a sandwich, etc.
Well, if you're lucky, you get two tomatoes and a few bits of lettuce.
Exactly, exactly.
At the most in terms of veg consumption.
Totally. So it's really just a fraction.
Yeah.
And so I started to look at it like this and I started to have, I'm just like a massive believer in anything in life. Knowing your why is so important.
Yes.
And as I started to understand why the body, how the body worked, I was like, well, this is why I need to change the way I'm eating. And I need to kind of start respecting both my body and like appreciating all these things my body actually does for me that I don't have any appreciation for. Because I don't even know all these things are happening basically inside your body at any one time. How clever it is.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. And it creates so much more respect and such a deeper relationship with yourself.
You've hit the word respect. Yeah. It's one of the 4 R's I put in my book. The first is respect your body because like
it's
you
amazing.
Just said, it's your why.
Totally. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so this actually makes sense as to why it matters. I'm not saying every single morsel of food you eat, but it does matter as a general rule how you're eating. And anyway, so I got to the end of this and I thought, okay, this is actually really important, but I couldn't find the recipes really to go with it.
Because, that make vegetables cool, as you say.
Exactly. Because this, you know, like the world's changed so much. This is the beginning of 2012 and this is almost 7 years now.
Wow.
And actually, like, now, you know, especially if you live in London, you know, you go into Pret and Pret has green juice.
Well, there's a whole veggie Pret now.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And like, this is, you know, so far away from where we were about 7 years ago.
Hugely so.
And I couldn't find the recipes I wanted. And I remember reading a book and it really inspired me on the why and the kind of appreciation. But then it got to the end and the recipes were literally like spinach wrapped in cucumber wrapped in kale. And I was like,
gosh.
You are talking to someone that's like a sandwich and Haribo girl. Like, this is too much for me.
It's way over the
And that's why I started cooking. Because I was like, I want to change the way I eat. I want to eat what I'm doing, because I'm like the biggest believer in anything to be sustainable, it's got to be enjoyable.
Totally.
So as soon as an element of kind of enjoyability, I don't know if that's a word,
is removed. We'll use it.
As soon as an element of that is removed, I think it doesn't work. I mean, it can work for a day.
I mean, I can see the passion. You've honestly just going through what you've been through must have made such a huge difference. And even if you fast forward now to opening the first deli that you have.
Yeah.
I mean, even developing your blog and coming up with all those recipes, because wasn't Matt cleaning tables? And, you know, how does that work today from that relationship with food to bringing forward a massive business like this?
Well, as you can kind of tell, I'm pretty passionate about it. And I think what I realized was I had spent, you know, a lot of my life thinking vegetables are boring, just like most people think. You know, there's a reason 27%
boiled dinners pretty much is the average Joe's vegetable consumption.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a reason 27% of the UK eat their five a day. It's because it's boiled broccoli.
Yeah.
I don't like boiled broccoli. Do you like boiled broccoli?
Oh, not particularly. No,
no
way.
It's not very yummy.
I like your broccoli, Ella.
Oh, stop. No, but you know, and that's what I realised. Yeah. So I was like, you know, I had this preconception that kind of, you know, someone said, oh, do you want to come over for a plant-based meal? I would have been like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm
no thanks.
Really
I'll
busy, actually. Because I would have imagined that they'd only present me with like crudités, like crunchy bits of cucumber and like soggy lettuce. And, you know, that's not what it is. And as soon as I started cooking and I started realizing the depths of flavor and texture and kind of amazing materials that you, amazing dishes you could make with these really simple materials, I was like, wow, like what? Why are we not doing this?
Because it's not the preconceived rabbit food misconception.
No.
And that's where we've gone wrong. We have a very all or nothing society. They see a bowl of leaves or they see a burger.
Exactly. And it's like there could be nothing in between.
Yeah.
And I think that was exactly my view as well. And as I said, it wasn't, you know, I never really stopped to think about it because I didn't need to.
Well, I actually have a lecture slide with those two very images in that I take whenever I do a talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, which do you think is a better option? And everybody always votes for the lettuce.
Yeah.
Even though actually comparing those two images, is, I'm giving it away now on the podcast, but the burger is the better of the two, actually, because it contains more nutrition than a pile of leaves, which is very surprising to people, but we need a middle ground.
But also, how often do you actually just want to eat a bowl of leaves?
No.
For me, I would say never.
No. Like, especially not in the winter. Oh.
Exactly. And so that's kind of then where the business element came from, because I was like, well, you know, the more I started to read, the more I started to appreciate how important it is, the more you start to kind of get into the weeds, obviously, of what you do and like how important it is from a kind of public health perspective. Huge. Then you get into the kind of environmental sides of vegetarianism. And
oh,
like,
my goodness. Yeah that's a like, whole other minefield.
Okay, the whole world needs to eat more plants. Mm-hmm. The whole world's only ever going to eat more plants if we make them appealing.
Well, that's just it. But all of this takes a lot of graft, doesn't it?
So totally.
It's not just an overnight thing. You've worked so ridiculously hard to get where you are. I mean, I can relate from... I was working in a call centre when my book came out, still at the Royal Albert Hall. And you have been, I mean, you work all hours, Ella.
Yeah, I know.
Getting the deli person off the feet and making it appealing. What do you think? Why do you think that you've managed to make it a little bit cooler?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think imagery is really important. Like, I remember when I was like, okay, I really want to try a lot of vegan recipes. I want to move to a kind of plant-based way of cooking. And I went on Amazon and said, this is the beginning of 2012. And I couldn't find anything that really met my brief. The only book I found, and I keep saying this, and I keep now, I will also preface it with, I haven't tried this recipe and I need to try it. But the book had no images in it. It was just a, kind of like a paperback fiction. Yeah. And the first recipe I opened it up to was almond milk pate.
Oh, goodness. Really? Yeah.
And as I said, I haven't tried it.
Almond milk pate.
Yeah.
I can't quite get my head around it. Maybe it is delicious.
Maybe.
But,
it sounds disgusting.
Maybe that's something you won't be putting on the menu in the deli.
No. But also, again, like from someone who, you know, didn't even know almond milk was a thing, I was like, this is... And it just felt like... So I think I realised really quickly, again, like we are a very image-conscious society. We are quite image-led. Mm. So again, I think it has to be beautiful. Like there's a sense of aspiration in things that I think we as human beings are drawn to.
We need it. We need something to aspire to. And we also need role models. And I think you've become a very, very good role model for people. And I think that's part of the draw, is that people look to you to lead them... in their kitchen, almost, to lead their way of life, to inspire them to also be perhaps an entrepreneur, or they have, you know, the willpower to create something out of nothing. Because essentially what you've done is encompassed your passions into your own business.
Yeah,
which
it's
is
crazy.
What would you say is the hardest struggle setting up something like your own deli? What's been the hardest thing for the business?
I think the hardest bit of it, well...
It's a hard question, actually.
It's a hard question because the honest
not
answer,
just one.
The honest answer would be a lot. And I think it's really easy when, you know, so much of the world today we do see through social media. And I'll share a picture of something being like, this is a really delicious idea of something you can make for lunch today.
Yeah.
And people will be like, the world must be perfect for her. And it's like, no, I'm just sharing an idea for lunch.
Yeah.
That's all. I think what I realized is like, So Matt and I, my husband, who's my business partner and he's our CEO, we've been working together for 3 years now. And that's really been as the business scaled.
Yes.
And then, we've gone into 6,000 supermarkets. Now we've got over 20 different products. Like, it's nuts. We've opened the deli. We've done pop-ups, festivals,
etc. It's been nonstop for you. It's been a fast pace.
It's been super fast pace. And that's because the opportunities came in and you've got to run with them. And you've got to take, I really believe in momentum, positive momentum and negative momentum.
Oh, me too, completely.
And when it starts... It really snowballs.
It's almost like manifestation.
Totally.
You put it out there, it all happens.
And then you've got to go with it.
Yeah.
And, but I think the thing that my biggest kind of, I guess, learning in terms of what's hard is the fact that, like, I just think we live as human beings a lot with the kind of what if and when this. And it's like, when this happens, everything will be great. When we deal with this issue, the world will be kind of plain sailing. And actually, what I've come to appreciate is that's literally polar opposite in running your own business. Like, problems appear in 10 seconds out of nowhere. Mm. And suddenly you're like, we're bust tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been a few moments where it feels really, really close to the edge. And I think it's just realizing that you've got to find a way to always put kind of one foot in front of the other, and you've got to find a way to kind of navigate all the challenges.
How do you manage the, I think, anxiety almost, or I won't use the word pressure because I think that comes with the job daily, but do you have a specific thing you like to do just to kind of put that to bed a little bit?
Totally. I mean, it's probably a kind of ultimate cliche to be like, I love avocado toast and yoga, but like, I love yoga. And
we were actually talking about that when I went to yours on Monday this week. Yeah.
it's powerful for me. Again, I think that tool is going to be different for anyone. Like, I know we were just talking about running before we started running, because I'm somehow signed up to run the marathon. Running for me before, but I think running is for some people.
And, therapeutic.
You know, like knitting is for other people, and you know, the
that's
colouring.
That's a really contrasted
well,
example.
Well, no,
but
you know
what
I mean? It's something that kind of takes
It takes your mind away.
Takes your mind into something kind of
quite
meditative.
I love a good Harry Potter book, to be honest.
Totally,
that's
exactly.
My thing.
A brilliant novel, music for lots of people. And for me, yoga's does that so well.
Yeah.
And it's just, so now I really prioritize it. Before the day starts, 7 to 8 or 6:30 to 7:30, I'll practice yoga, unless I have to be on a train at 6 o'clock in the morning, which happens sometimes. But otherwise, I practice every day. Some days you don't want to practice, and I'll just go and, again, listen to your body. But, like, I'll just basically sit at the back and, like, wiggle around and kind of, like, just spend the whole class in child's
pose. But
it's
still so good for your nervous system, isn't it?
Exactly. And there's the sense of space that it creates, because you can't be on your phone. Yeah. You've got nice music. You've got, you know, really kind of positive sort of affirmations coming from the teacher about focusing in with your breath and being present.
The fact you can't be on your phone as well.
It's good.
Do you find for you, I mean, I don't know about you, Ella, but I am on my phone way too much.
Way too much.
I'm finding it hard to cut it down. And I'm setting curfews for myself. But it seems as businesses evolve, you spend more and more time on a screen.
It's really challenging. As you said, like, I have those conversations myself as well. And it's like, you need to do less time on your phone. But then I think what I've also come to appreciate is there's the reality between the dream and what's genuinely possible, and also in a way a good idea today, because part of you is like, well, I'm just going to turn it off. And then the other part of you is like, well, you've started this. Like, you've started everything you've done with, like, nutrition and, you know, I got myself into this mess. You know what I mean? Like, you got to deal with it.
Like, it's an incredible opportunity, isn't
totally.
It? Totally. Sometimes you've just got to keep, I think, practicing gratitude.
Exactly.
Brings it back.
And I actually met someone when I was doing a job, and she was a really amazing girl. She's called Anna Ivanovic. She was a former number one world tennis player.
Wow.
And I was talking to her, and I was asking her a little bit about her life, and she said something to me, and it resonated so much, and it was really kind of framed my thinking around these things. So she said, you know, because she'd said she'd never had a summer holiday, like never taken a minute away, you know, just away from work in the summer since she was like 11 years old or something because she was playing tennis. And I was like, gosh, you know, so you've never kind of had a minute with your family or kind of been able to go home and spend time with them running. And she was like, you know, but my whole life it's been about making choices, not sacrifices.
I love that.
Me too. And I thought it was really powerful, because ultimately, like, life is about making choices, and you can't, no one can do everything. We would love to do everything.
But it's the mindset we put on it, of course, because if we turn that into a negative thing, actually it's a positive thing, because the choice is there.
Exactly. And you're like, I've got to be on my phone because I've got to do this, and you see it's like my phone is like sucking me
in. But actually, if we look at it, it's look at this opportunity on my phone.
And I'm like, gosh, look at these people who've made our recipes and who are loving them and who are sharing kind of really lovely things with us. Or like, even if it's not, I'm like, look how nice it is that this person's taking the time to let me know they had an issue.
Would you
this.
Say that's been a highlight in terms of the whole Deliciously Ella thing? Yeah. Would it be the people responding?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, the community element is everything for us, and it's what frames all our thinking. It's what kind of guides every decision we do. And for me, like, I really, you know, I do think kind of big business often gets a bad name. That's often because big business isn't in the best industries. And I do want Deliciously Ella to be a big business, because I think the bigger you are, the more power you can have, and you can genuinely start to be a really good, you know,
well,
force for good.
You can implement change.
Exactly, and you can actually really be a force for good in the world, and the bigger you are, the more of a force for good I think you can start to be, because the more impact you can have.
I'm literally crossing my fingers, Ella. I'm just hoping this happens. Like, you're already there, pretty much.
No, we got a long way to go.
You're on your way. You're going the right way up. And I mean, in terms of things like the five bean chili, which I made last weekend, by the way. I did put a picture of that. It tastes absolutely delicious. What is the kind of favourite meal that you've launched recently in terms of the new range?
Bean chili is
so really?
Popular.
That's one of that's the best one.
You're in good company.
Yeah.
I think, again, because like we were saying in the beginning, there's an assumption that this kind of food is boring and it's not flavoursome and it's not hearty.
And the freezer, there's a misconception, of course, that frozen food isn't good, because you were saying the other day that most people associate it with frozen peas and that's it, or chips.
Exactly, or ice cream, and that's about it. So trying to kind of, and again, like, we learn we'd spent some time with someone who founded a really interesting app called Olio, and it's all about food waste. And like she was telling us how, you know, every year we throw away $1 trillion worth
so
of food.
It's so sad.
You know, we farm somewhere the size of China and then throw it away. And it's kind of all this, you start to appreciate it. And then you're like, yep, again, it's that sense of appreciation and respect of food. And therefore, like, why would you not freeze it? Like, make a big batch or something and freeze it. It also then, from your kind of health perspective, means when you get back late on a Tuesday night and you cannot be bothered, which, by the way, is so human. So you never feel like you're failing.
I've not been cooking as much recently. And that those types of meals are a really good go-to. And I find it really hard because everyone's always looking for advice. They're looking for information. And especially with evidence-based info, I mean, it's not easily accessible. I mean, do you know, considering we said earlier so many people are not getting their five a day, what do you think people can do in order to get access to more information? Even people like myself as registered nutritionists or dietitians, it's not out there, is it?
No, it's tough. And I think one of my biggest frustrations is also, like, because we're always trying to, not sort of, but like the kind of society, the world is always trying to make a statement. I feel like everything gets quite sensationalized as well. So,
oh,
like,
that's the word.
You know, you'll pick up something and it's like, yeah, coconut oil is pure poison.
Yeah.
And then the article says use it in moderation. And you're like, well, is it going to murder me if I have like a teeny tiny teaspoon of it?
I know.
Or shall I just not have it all day, every day? Like, these
especially when the source is a Harvard professor that makes a claim like that, it makes people extremely
confused. So confusing. Mm-hmm. And like, So how do you navigate that? And then the next day, you know, the argument will be on something completely different and everything starts to completely contradict each other. And I think you get to the point where you're like, well, what's good? What's not good? How on earth do I navigate this?
I know.
This?
It's so confusing. And I think in a time where social media is on the rise, it's so important that more and more people that actually are practicing something good come forward. And I think a solution is, of course, you're providing wonderful, healthy food for everyone, which is excellent. And of course, you're also providing delicious, indulgent food too. You've got a really good balance. I think more people need to be coming forward that are maybe even in my field sharing what they can. The more we share and the more we talk.
But I think people are nervous to share because there's such, we're not always that receptive.
No, we're not.
And I think that makes people really nervous.
You've got to be quite thick-skinned.
Totally. Like, I shared something this week, and I'm sure you saw on the news, there was all the stuff, like, we've got 12 years to reverse climate change. And,
you know,
climate breakdown is a very scary concept. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation around the importance of plant-based diet in that, and also the fashion industries and other things. And we actually did a podcast episode with a guy, a researcher from Oxford, about it. And it was so interesting. I shared, you know, if we all went vegan tomorrow, we could technically cut down on global greenhouse gases by 23%, half of which would come from replanting somewhere the size of Africa. So it was really interesting. And then there was this whole kind of absolutely heated debate on, well, what happens if we all go vegan? It's like, obviously, not everyone is going vegan tomorrow.
It's a fact. It's a scientific fact. It's just taken out of proportion.
It's just to get you to understand
100%
the relevance of how powerful this could be, rather than actually, of course, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
No.
And I think that's what puts people off sharing stuff, because it's like, it's important we talk about things. It's important we have honest conversations, but things can get taken out of hand, out of context, so easily, and it creates so much confusion. And so
it's like
much
treading on eggshells everywhere you go and everything
exactly.
you write.
And as a result, like, do you share the reality or do you just kind of go, gently?
Well, it takes a certain person to be brave enough to share the reality. And that's the sad thing. But I think you're right. The repercussions, because not everyone's going to act friendly to it. And I'll never forget when you gave up the time, when I first got my book deal, to sit with me, because I was so anxious and worried about writing this. But you took time out of your incredibly busy schedule back then. This is a good 2 years ago, whenever.
Yeah.
That's more now, actually. Yeah. To actually give me some advice. And I just think more people, you know, giving out a bit of good karma. Hopefully the impact you've had this week with that discussion will have sparked some flames somewhere else. And
totally.
That's
and that's
what it takes.
Exactly. And that's all you're asking people to do is just think about it. And it's the same. Someone was saying, and I thought it was really good, they're like, she often talks to patients and, you know, they eat their one a day. So we're expecting them to eat their 10 a day tomorrow.
It's
completely unrealistic.
Small changes make big differences.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean you're not going to share the research around the power that is a 10 a day as ultimate goals at some point, maybe in a decade.
Yeah.
And it's just the idea that we are, as you say, we're quite kind of all or nothing in our approach. And as a result, we read something and we think, well, either we're going to say it's all wrong or we're going to have to do it all tomorrow.
Or in this features case, all vegan or nothing. Whereas what you're actually saying is, come on, let's up the plant consumption,
totally,
lower the animal
slightly.
And look what it can do. Yeah.
Exactly, because the research doesn't say, well, if you did one more meal.
No, exactly. And I think it's really important that the facts are out there and that they're shared.
So. And then you take the facts and you make them work for you. And that involves in any capacity. And it's the same. Someone was like, well, I don't really tolerate chickpeas very well. So what would I do? And
I know.
Not worry about it. No, don't eat chickpeas.
Totally blown out of proportion. Like you said, for actually the general public, if you get out of the what I call the worried well bubble. So there's so many people out there that won't even know what. I mean, I did a talk in Turkey 2 weeks ago where people didn't know what veganism was.
Yeah.
So we've still got a very long way to go in encouraging plant-based consumption and increasing more plants. But at least you've got Matt by your side, which is something I kind of wanted to touch in on a bit, because you've obviously gone through so much together. And with your experiences combined, that must be a pretty good combination, surely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It is. I honestly couldn't do without him. And I've had a few people be like, oh, it's, you know, not very kind of female empowerment focused to say things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time, so we've been working together for just over 3 years now. And I remember the first time I sent out a newsletter when we were working together. And I didn't even think about it. And I signed it off, love Matt, Ella and the Delicious Yellow team. And I got this email back from someone saying how disappointed they were. And they loved that it was, you know, a female led business and it was all gone away. And I'm just giving my company away.
Oh, goodness.
And I was like, okay, first of all, calm down.
Yeah.
But second of all, you know, that's literally the polar opposite of what it is. I know where my strengths lie. My strengths are in creative elements. My strengths are in the kind of brand side of Delicious Yellow, the food, the look, the feel, the community, as we said, the events. I love that part of it. I'm very passionate about it. Mm. Not numbers girl.
No, I'm not either. Maths is not my strong point.
No, I don't really like Excel. Mm-mm. And like, I think what I realised was if we worked together, Matt had experience. I'd never hired anyone before. I was doing job interviews being like, are you nice?
Yeah.
Do you know what almond milk is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you want to cook?
Yeah. My goodness.
Exactly. Not great interview questions.
Oh, no, I wasn't either. And I think in terms of when you hire someone, you kind of are looking for another friend and it's changing the mindset on what you look for.
That's it. Literally, couldn't say, that's exactly what it was. And actually, like, Matt and I started working together, and it was a game changer. And it's, you know, it's complete. I have learned so much working with him and the rest of our team, who are completely brilliant. And it's just, what's been amazing is actually like how much you can do when you work together.
It's not about being female or not female. This is about using your strengths.
Exactly.
And I think when people try and put the whole feminist debate on this, this isn't what this is about at all.
No, and also I'm the first one, and it's not in a self-deprecating way. I never would have done everything we've done in the last few years. A, I don't have the manpower, you know, splitting it in two makes a really big difference.
Yeah.
B, he has kind of supported and encouraged and pushed me so much in a way I really needed.
Yeah.
And knowing you have that sense of moral support gives you so much strength, I think, in what you're doing.
Mm.
And especially if you're operating in a slightly public space where it can be challenging at times.
The question,
it means a lot.
Yeah, you need the support. And that's what I was kind of going to lead on to and ask, because obviously it was kind of a whirlwind romance for you guys, which is, I think it's dreamy. And I'm all about the whole fairy tale lifestyle. If we can achieve it, why not? But do you ever find that mixing your business with a marriage, obviously you can spend more time together, which is great. But I know, even having my fiancé at home and discussing business sometimes, it's quite hard to draw the line and separate it because it's who you are. So it's quite difficult.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think I wouldn't change it for anything. And I genuinely love it. It's been a brilliant experience.
Yeah.
But it does take, you know, you learn to navigate it. And I think what we learned really early on, and, you know, the more our team's expanded, the easier it's been to kind of really put this in place. Like, we're 40 people now.
It's incredible.
Terrifying.
I know.
And so cool. But it means that we can really separate out our roles. And so I am our creative director, our brand director. I look after anything that would fall into that space.
Yeah.
Matt's our CEO. He looks after our supply chain and our finance functions and our operations.
You've got your lines, your boundaries.
Exactly. And so, yes, you know, we have meetings together. So, like, we've got a big planning session for 2019 this afternoon. And, of course, that's together because that's big picture.
Yeah.
But on a moment-by-moment basis, actually, we work quite separately. Yeah. And that I love because we share the big picture, we share what we're working towards, and we share the big issues and the stresses
together.
And you have the understanding and kind of support,
but we try what's going on, because I think the harder thing would be if maybe he wasn't involved. How on earth can you relate to the situation?
Well, that's what I always say. Like, I don't know how we would have managed the last few years not working together, because it has been so all-consuming. You know, we always say that we cancelled 5 attempts at a holiday in 18 months because work stuff came up.
And you had to keep cancelling.
Totally. And it was our first year anniversary for our wedding.
Yes.
And we were meant to go to Paris. And we were literally on our way to the Eurostar for this, like, romantic weekend. And we got a call from one of our team. And he was like, it was just before we launched our granola. And we were launching into Tesco. And they need new line forms. And we thought we had 3 weeks. And they're like, oh, we need them on Monday. And so we were like, okay, we'll see you in the office in 10 minutes.
Oh, bless you.
But, you know, because you're in it together.
But this is what people don't see.
Totally. You obviously say, well, okay, no one's, you know, you're obviously like, oh, what do you mean?
Whereas you're not letting the other one down.
No,
I get it.
Totally.
Yes, it's an equal kind of
commitment.
Exactly.
So you're both obviously like, oh, would it be nice to celebrate our anniversary, not just eating granola. But you're not like, I can't believe it. It doesn't cause any friction between the two of you.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, I can only imagine if he cancelled on me on the way to the Eurostar that I'd be like, excuse me.
Oh, I'd have been distraught. I'd have felt really...
Totally.
And also, if it's you cancelling on him, the guilt.
Totally. So then you're always choosing between kind of your work and your business. And, you know, like we were saying, like, it's so rare to get the opportunity that we've had in life, and it's just like we wanted to run with it, and
we've
been able to do it together.
Definitely. I think it definitely comes across that you're such a united front. Now, we've got a lot of questions from followers.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it on your Instagram this morning.
I put quite a few up, so we've been adding quite a few different ones on here. So the first one is from Emily.
Okay.
Emily says, oh, this is really sweet. I adore you, Ella.
Oh,
your recipes are out of this world. What a nice start to question. I want to ask whether you would bring up your child vegan or not. Oh, wow. She's right in there.
Right, Emily. Yeah, right in there. Do you know what? First of all, I've got a lot to learn on, you know, again, Delicious Yellow's all been very personal. So I've kind of been learning from my experience. I've got a lot to learn within children and children's nutrition and
it's a different
babies
one, isn't it?
At all. So it's a lot to learn. But I think they would definitely be the majority plant-based, I think, especially... Mm. But I feel very much so that is the world, the direction of travel the whole world's going to go on, because I think from an environmental perspective...
There's no other choice.
We don't have that much choice. Mm. So I don't know whether it would be 100% or 90%, or it would depend really on what I learn as I get deeper into it. But definitely as a big focus, and certainly with a kind of respect and appreciation for that kind of way of cooking.
Yeah. Well, I think for you, obviously, naturally, you create such delicious food anyway. Your child will get all the vegetables, which is great.
Exactly.
It's getting its vitamins and minerals. So that's a good question, Emily. You don't have to label your food choices, but you choose what works for you.
Exactly.
I think that's a very good question. And Sophie has asked, your lunchbox posts are brilliant. How do you find the time to make them working on so many businesses?
Yeah, great question. Who knows?
Yeah.
I try and multitask it, honestly. Mm. And, like, I'm the biggest believer in if you cook once, like, you're mad not to make a big batch.
Oh, I know.
You know, if you're going to go to, you know, the effort, for want of a better word, of chopping your garlic and your onion and your celery and things like that, just do double, because it will only take you an extra 5 minutes, if that. you know, if you're doing something like the bean chili.
That's something I say in clinic all the time. Yeah. Just cook dinner and save the rest for your lunch the
exactly.
next day.
And then what I would do is to make it a little bit different, I would then just throw in some easy stuff that I don't need to cook. So I would just throw in some salad and some avocado or things like hummus and things like that. And hummus, my favourite food.
Yep, everything.
So I definitely think that makes a really, really big difference. But otherwise, it is literally like I'll wake up and I'll go put on like some rice or some quinoa. And while that cooks, I'll clean my teeth, have my shower, you know, do your makeup, get ready for the day.
Multitask.
Exactly.
I love roasting veggies for that very reason.
Totally.
Get in the oven, off I go.
Exactly.
And Joe has asked, do you ever drink alcohol?
So, do you know what, Joe? You are not the only person to ask this question.
Oh, really?
I get it a lot. Ah. Yeah. So I stopped drinking completely for almost 4 years when I wasn't very well.
Yeah.
And then as my health started to get better, I would every now and again, but my body still reacts a lot to quite a lot of things. I've got quite a few ongoing issues.
Yeah.
And so alcohol is one of the things that I have quite a lot of allergic reactions to.
Goodness. I mean, I think, Joe, it's important to remember that alcohol essentially is, I'm not going to use the word poison, instead toxin, let's say, or something your body wants to get rid of very, very quickly. So in small amounts and moderation, but from some people they will be more sensitive to it.
Totally. And I think that's coming back to what works for you.
Totally.
And you know, I always say to people, like, I eat the way I do because it allows me to most of the time manage something that has a really massive impact on my life. But if you're not, and you're just trying to feel better and trying to have more energy and trying to live better, no one's saying you shouldn't enjoy a G&T on a Friday night. So again, it's like, what does your body need? And I think that's what we're not always so good at.
It's so fascinating that even now, it used to be back in the day or quite a few years ago that if you didn't drink, there was something wrong with you.
Totally, it's
Whereas
changing
people
a lot.
Embrace now. I mean, I don't really drink either unless it's a special occasion and there's a glass of bubbles waiting for
me. Exactly.
But a lot of people used to crack open a bottle every night. A lot of my clients in clinic, I'm reducing alcohol consumption. That kind of generation, I think, is ceasing a little
bit.
Totally. So it's a different change. So Laura has asked, when you first went vegan, what did you find most difficult?
When I think for me, changing my diet, the hardest thing for me was sugar.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
was the my like yeah fizzy cherries and things like that. And
people don't realize they're not vegan.
No, but also just like I was really trying to move away from refined sugar because I just found it, for me personally, I found it very addictive. Like I wasn't very good at just like one.
Yeah, many people aren't. I mean, it's quite a tasty thing.
Well, exactly, that's the thing. It does, and it has a reaction.
Yeah, you want to have more.
Exactly. So I was trying to move away from a lot of white sugar. And that I found really, really, really hard.
I think the addiction and sugar thing is something I also get asked a lot. Now, sugar technically isn't addictive, but it's got a very similar pathway in the brain that does mimic addiction.
Yeah.
So you are getting a response in the brain.
Totally.
It's only natural, Ella. And I think I would too, that if I had one, I would want more. So that makes sense. And the last question is from Hannah. And she said, what is your biggest challenge at the moment?
Hannah, biggest challenge at the moment, I think for me, actually, like, my health hasn't been very good the last couple of months. Mm. And that's just because this year's been pretty intense, kind of personally and professionally. And I just haven't really had as much time as I would want to
what
be
about
a,
booking a holiday. I think
we're
a big
going
challenge.
Away for 3 weeks over Christmas. Yeah.
Because well
no one can cancel it over Christmas.
No, they can't.
Exactly. It's what we realise.
Well, excellent answers there, Ella. I think we're going to move on to our quickfire round. Are you ready?
I'm nervous, but ready.
This is my favourite part. Don't worry, don't be nervous. There's some good questions here. Okay, what is always in your fridge?
Hummus.
Yes, quick. You can only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Maggi Mix, a food processor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Signature homemade dish?
Curries. Yeah, nice. Veggie curries.
Oh, your veggie curries. They are so good. What is your favourite restaurant anywhere in the world?
It's a restaurant in LA actually called Crossroads, and it's all vegan, but you would have no idea. And they do these truffled Hasselback potatoes and this insane macadamia nut ravioli. If you're ever in LA, like, it's unreal.
That sounds absolutely divine. And what is the one food you can't live without?
Oh, one food I can't live without. It would have to be something like dates and dried mango. Like, I just love dried fruit.
I love dried mango.
Yeah, I love dried mango with Brazil nuts.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a really good snack.
Okay,
yeah.
I might wrap the mango.
Exactly.
Around the Brazil nuts. What is the strangest food you've ever eaten?
Do you know what? I tried lard when I was younger.
Oh, by itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was so many... For some reason, there was some in my mum's cupboard. And I was talking to my brother, and I was like, what's like the fattiest thing you could ever eat? And he was like, I'd say lard. And I just assumed it would therefore be so delicious. It's not, by the
no,
way.
Don't go doing that.
So I tried a little bit.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. I've not had one like that yet. what's your go-to healthy dish in a rush?
Go-to healthy dish in a rush. Either porridge with porridge oats, so it takes 4 minutes to cook.
Perfect.
And then chuck on some nut butter. Or if it's savoury, just a quick stir fry with rice noodles.
Can't beat a good stir fry. Who is your biggest cooking inspiration?
Everyone. Honestly, it's social media, because you go online. I follow 1,000 people, probably insane. But you get so much flavour, colour, texture immediately just in a scroll. And I love that.
I love that answer. What was your favourite? Oh, I think we know this. Favourite childhood treat?
Oh, yeah. Barbie's chocolate.
There
chip.
We go.
Cookies, exactly.
I can't believe I didn't know that existed. Okay, the last question. What was the last thing you tried for the first time?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, do you know what? I went to, I spent a few days in Morocco with my mum, and they made barley bread. And I'd never had that before, and it was really, really, really delicious.
That's so, so cool.
Yeah, really good.
Yum. What goes in that?
It was made with barley.
Just that's it?
Primarily, yeah. And
awesome.
I'd never seen it or had it anywhere else before. I mean, it's not that exotic, but it was just quite interesting.
Ah, perfect. Well done. Good answers for the quickfire round.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up now with a food for thought. And I do this with every single guest at the end. So my one today, to give you an example. So we're all different, and we've discussed this. You know, what works for one person may not work well for the next. And having a planned or a well-planned vegetarian or vegan diet can really improve all the nutrients you need. So it can get a lot more veggies and things into your diet. And those that follow a poorly planned diet could be at risk of nutrient deficiencies. And the main ones I tend to see in my clinic are things like low levels of B12 or vitamin D. Now we're going into the winter months of recording this podcast. That's a concern. Omega-3, iodine, iron, calcium, zinc. All of these, and the thing is, they are often found in meat. So this can affect your cognition, your bones, your joints, your hair. So the key nutrients I think people really need to look out for when they're making more of a plant-based kind of switch, which is very important, and we all want people to eat more plants, is B12 to ensure you can get this kind of energy metabolism. You know, it's really important also for your nervous system. So things that like fortified cereals, yogurts, I think yeast, nutritional yeast is a good example of that one there. Then there's calcium, of course, which isn't just from dairy. This is the biggest misconception.
I think that's one of the biggest myths in the world.
Totally. I mean, we all grew up thinking milk for your bones, but actually kale, figs, my favourite, dried figs, good source, almonds, all of those contain calcium.
Also
as well.
Sesame seeds, I think.
Sesame
so
seeds.
If you're a hummus addict,
yes.
Extra tahini.
Oh, I will never turn down extra tahini. And then we've got iron, and of course you can get that in things like lentils, broccoli, spinach, soybeans, tofu. Now, iodine is one of the tricky ones.
Yeah.
This is normally just found, obviously, of course, in animal products and fish and things, but you can get it in seaweed and, funnily enough, strawberries.
Interesting.
Very, very random one there, but maybe look for fortified products would be my advice on the iodine thing. Then omega-3, you can get good vegan supplements if you go for algae-based ones of DHA. In fact, I was at a conference this week that discussed a lot of benefits of omega-3. Then we've got zinc. So the best plant-based sources of zinc are often legumes, nuts, seeds, pulses, all that kind of thing. And porridge.
Yeah, good.
Porridge, a deliciously other favourite. And vitamin D. So everyone wants to get around 10 micrograms at the moment in the winter months. And that's what you really want to be aiming for when you can supplement. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that obviously education is key.
And as you said, you need to eat lots of different things.
Yeah.
And also, if you are going to try and do more plants, make sure that you have different recipes. And even if it's just trading one bean into another recipe,
I
you know, having
that.
Black beans one day is chickpeas another.
Yeah.
Adding spinach one day.
You can try a different bean, bean to black
Exactly,
bean.
Cannellini beans, bellotti
yes.
beans. Like they all
yes.
have different things. And so just trying to kind of be creative, because I think we often lack confidence when we're trying new things.
Would that be your food for thought, I think? Be creative with
the
meals.
Be creative, totally. And don't be scared to try stuff. Like if the recipe calls for chickpeas, like red kidney beans are going to work.
Yeah.
If it's like a stew or something
yeah.
like that. So just chuck it in. Chuck your spinach in, your kale, broccoli, things like that. As you said, all these things that get your nutrients.
Totally.
You know, try putting tahini in a salad dressing. Oh. It makes it really creamy.
It really does. It tastes incredible.
It tastes so good. So yeah, don't be nervous to try different things, because it will 99% the time work well.
Well, Ella, I can't thank you enough
for taking
the time to come here to discuss your passions, your philosophy, your business with us, because ultimately, everyone, you can make changes for the better. And I think Ella's a huge inspiration to us all that vegetables can taste absolutely incredible. And that if you have the tools and you have the knowledge, you can go about anything. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be very cost effective.
Five bean chili.
Yep. Five bean chili. Check it out. Thank you, Ella.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest, so click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Here I am with a friendly reminder: fruit and vegetables are part of a healthy, balanced diet, and they really do help us stay healthy. It's so important that we eat enough of them. However, the NHS says 75% of us in the UK still don't eat the recommended five a day. For a few, that's an easy feat, whereas for others, I know hitting the goal can be a little trickier. What's interesting for me is that some vegetables stand out from the rest. I love spinach and kale. Both are great sources of vitamins and minerals, and are Hex key ingredients in their super green bangers that go perfectly with my favourite scrambled eggs on toast. Try something different for breakfast and check out heckfood.co.uk or the major supermarkets to give them a go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.